1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Now we, for our scripture reading tonight, we started with verse number 1 and we went down through verse 7. That's what we read for the scripture reading tonight. And I want us to focus on verses 6 and 7 for the message. And the message will be very simple, and it's based on those two verses. And the title of it is, Don't Think of Men Above That Which Is Written. Don't think of men above that which is written. And that comes from verses 6 and 7, okay? So by the way, in the first five verses, the Apostle Paul talks about being a steward. He doesn't judge himself. He knows that God will judge him someday. And notice what he says in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? The Corinthian church had an issue with thinking of men above that which was written. In other words, they would elevate people to a high level based on their opinion of them and the influence maybe that they had in their life and maybe their abilities in one thing or another. Maybe it was a pastor or a teacher and they had some God-given ability. Maybe it was the Apostle Paul or Apollos, and they would lift them up and put them on a pedestal that was higher than what God had intended for people to be. And they began to be guilty of man worship. And boy, that is a constant battle that we as human beings have had for all of our human history. It's always our tendency when somebody is used of God to put them up on a pedestal and to begin to think that they are the one who really needs to be praised. Because after all, look at what they've done. But we need to understand what the Bible says and what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach to the Corinthian church, and that is, don't think of men above that which is written. In other words, what has God said about men? Well, God said that there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. God has said that even the idea of man being something is just vain, it's vanity, it's really nothing, that we are all dust, and like the flower of grass, we fade away. That's all of us. If God has used us in a great way, or if we're kind of hidden and in the shadows, it doesn't matter, we're all the same in that way. That's what God has written. And God wants to remind us, don't elevate people above that which is written about them. Remember that God is the one who needs to get the glory. And that's the idea of the message tonight. And I want to share with you some thoughts and some scriptures about that. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it, okay? Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach to your people. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. But Lord, yet you've given me the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility. So Lord, would you enable me in a very special way for your sake and for your glory to be able to preach in such a way that your people are helped and your name is proclaimed. Now Lord, I am leaning on you and depending on you to do that, and only if you do it will it be a blessing. And so Lord, I pray, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before you for this time. Would you please make it what it ought to be? In Jesus' name, amen. So, according to verse 7, there are three questions that we ought to ask ourselves. And we're really asking ourselves about ourselves, because one of the things that I did not mention earlier is not only do we tend to think about others more than what the Bible says, but we also tend to think of ourselves more than what's written. We tend to elevate ourselves and we think much of ourselves. Isn't that human nature? Just crazy how that is, but it's part of our human nature. So here's three questions that God asks of us, all right? The first one in verse 7 is, who maketh thee to differ from another? Okay, in other words, who is the one that made you different in that area that you're so proud about, all right? If you're good at math, who made you good at math? All right? If you are good in athletics, who made you good in athletics? if you have a good mind where you can remember things quickly and just readily, okay, who gave you that mind? If you have good looks. No, never mind, there's nobody here like that. All right. Who is the one that made us to differ from another? And the answer is, help me out, God. All right, that's the first answer to the first question. Who maketh thee to differ from another? God did, all right? The second question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Okay, if you have something, is there anything that you have at all that you might be tempted to be proud about that was not given to you? In other words, you earned it on your own. And the answer is, how much was given, or how much was not given to you? Nothing, right? Everything was given to you. That's the second question. Third question from verse 7, if thou didst receive it, in other words, if it was given to you, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why in the world are you glorying as if you earned it in some way by your wit or by your ability, or maybe you're better than somebody else and that's how you got it? All right, even if you have a tendency to study and so you've studied more, therefore you have more knowledge because you're more diligent in study. All right, who gave you that diligence? That came from God. Who gave you that willingness to do that? That was God. So why do you glory as if you hadn't received it? And I'll give you the answer for that because the answer is a little bit longer. It is, the answer can only be, listen, I am deceiving myself and others and taking the glory that belongs to God alone. The answer to that third question is, I am deceiving myself and others and taking the glory that belongs to God alone. That's why I glory as if I had not received it. Yikes. Those are some tough questions. But they're great questions that we need to ask ourselves. And may I say to all of the young people here today, you especially need to ask yourself those questions. Because pride is something that we all battle with, but it tends to be something that young people battle with even more. Because in your life, either you're starting to see some of the gifts that God has given you, and it's easy to get proud about that because Satan will be right there to whisper in your ear thoughts of pride. But the other thing is, you haven't had life hit you quite as hard as it will. And some of the older folks in here have had life hit them hard enough that they recognize, you know what? I'm not all that I thought I once was. But even the older folks battle with pride because it's a human condition. So these are great questions to ask ourselves. Now, let me share with you from Scripture what the Bible says about how we ought to think of ourselves, okay? In other words, what does the Bible say about this situation that the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians about? Be ready with your Bibles because we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture. First one is in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. So again, what does God say through his word about this subject? Well, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, this is when Solomon was, it's not Solomon, it's David, is kind of blessing the Lord for the temple that he has prepared for. Of course, it hasn't been built yet. Solomon's going to do that. But towards the end of his life, he's dedicating the things that he had collected for the temple. And here's what he says about worship. Okay? 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Boy, what a great verse. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Okay? Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now what I want you to notice about those verses right there is David gives us an understanding of everything that is in this earth that is of any kind of goodness comes straight from God. And even as he talks about dedicating all these things to God, he doesn't take pride in the fact that he's dedicating all these things to God. He says, they all come from you, God. And how that applies to you and me is as we come together on a Wednesday night to worship the Lord, we can take no pride in this, for it all comes from God himself. We can take no pride in it. Turn with me to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, as I mentioned to you, we're going to turn to a few passages of Scripture, so you're going to want to be ready. Psalm 115, verse number 1. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You see, God is the one who should be glorified, and not you and not me. God alone. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 3. John chapter 3 and verse 27. Here's another passage of Scripture that reminds us of how we ought to look at our lives and the things that we are able to do. John chapter 3 and verse 27. This is when John was confronted with the fact that Jesus began to have a large following, and John's following was diminishing. And in John 3 verse 27, John the Baptist responds, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That means if you have anything, it's been given to you by God. Whatever you have. That's amazing, isn't it? By the way, that applies to the lost around us. Can you understand now why God is just to send people to the lake of fire at the end of all of this if they've not received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Because everything they have is from God. That thought will strike me every once in a while as we're downtown on Thursday nights handing out gospel tracts to those young college students. And listen, you think about their lives, not all of them, obviously, but many of them. They have everything that heart could wish, at least from a worldly sense. They have youth. Many of them have beauty. Many of them have money and things. Some of them are good athletically and at the same time good in academics. And in all of those things that they have, when they go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas, many of them go home to very nice houses, maybe on a lake house somewhere that their parents owned or whatever it might be, and they're privileged people. And every bit of that came from God. Every bit of that is a gift from God. And yet they spit in his face. But by the way, sometimes I do too. Not literally. But sometimes I forget about God. And I think to myself, you know what? I'm the one who's done this. I've gotten this, my hard work or my good mind or whatever. But everything is given to me by God. Look at John 15. John 15, when we're talking about doing things for the Lord in a spiritual sense, when we're talking about working for the Lord, what does John 15 tell us in verse number 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. So why in the world, when something happens under our stewardship, why in the world would we get excited about it and think that we've done anything when Jesus said without him, we can do nothing? Turn with me to Romans chapter number 11. We're slowly going through the Bible here, looking at scriptures that tell us what God says about how we ought to think about things. Romans chapter number 11 and verse 36. We should actually start with verse 32. Romans 11 and verse 32. And the Bible tells us there, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Those are some powerful verses. It's easy for us to read over them and not think much about them, but especially verse 36 is a powerful verse. It really ought to cause us to fall on our face before God when we recognize what it says there, that all things are of him. Everything comes from him. Listen, not only are they of him, but the Bible tells us that all things are through him. In other words, everything passes through him in order to happen. Through him we live and move and have our being, the Apostle Paul said. I believe that was in his sermon on Mars Hill in Athens. That everything is through him. And then not only are they of him and through him, but they're to him. They all come back to him. It's for his purposes and for his glory that all things exist. That ought to cause us to recognize that it is not about you and me. It is about God. By the way, let me say, it's not about any other person either. Somebody that you admire or look up to, it's not about them. Don't think of somebody greater than what is written. Let's turn to the next passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at verse 4. The Bible says there, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Let's stop there for a second. Have you ever met somebody that God seems to give wisdom to them? And when they speak, it's like the Bible talks about, I think it was it Ahithophel, David's counselor, that the Bible says when he spoke, it was like the oracle of God. You ever met somebody like that? I've met people like that, that you go, wow, that's wise. I look in the mirror. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. I don't look in the mirror. But you ever met somebody and you go, wow, where does that come from? That's the Spirit of God. If it is true wisdom, according to the Scripture, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That is the Spirit of God within them speaking through them. They don't get the glory. God can take it away like that. Let's move on. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Sometimes there are people that God gives just knowledge to them and they can kind of see through things. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Have you ever met somebody who was a person of faith? You go, wow, they just have faith to do things that other people don't have the faith to do. Well, they don't get glory for that. God is the one. It's the Spirit of God within them. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Same idea there, right? When God gives that ability to somebody, he gets the glory for it. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. That's the declaration of God's word. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, or we might say individually, right? Severally, as he will. It's all up to the Spirit as he deems necessary. He gives gifts to men. And it's not about the man. It's not about the gift that they have. It is the Spirit of God working within them. So why do we think of men greater than that which is written? Well, because we don't think scripturally. Don't think of yourself greater than that which is written. Don't think of others greater than that which is written. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 10. This goes along the same lines. Verse number 10, the Apostle Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Even the Apostle Paul, who we would call probably outside of Christ the greatest missionary of all time, who worked more than anybody we've ever met individually in the Christian life, and yet he says, it was not me, it was the grace of God within me, and by his grace I am what I am. It was God's working in him. So don't even think of the Apostle Paul greater than that which is written. And then let's look at one more, 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. We're still looking at the scripture and what it says about how we ought to think of one another and think of ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, that's the Spirit of God, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, we cannot brag, for we are only stewards of the grace that God gives. Pretty interesting, isn't it? If we are just stewards, then we have nothing to brag about. Think about what a steward is. A steward is someone who watches over and cares for and distributes the riches or the property of somebody else. So if I am a manager for somebody who is wealthy and they have lots of money, and maybe you are a manager for somebody else and they have a good amount of money but not as much as the person that I manage for, okay? Maybe my manager, the person I manage for is a billionaire. Maybe the person you manage for is a millionaire. How foolish would it be for me to thump my chest out and say, ha, I'm greater than you are? That'd be foolish because it's not my money. I'm not the one who earned it. I'm not the one who figured out a way to become rich and get that much, nor did you. So why in the world would I stick my chest out as if I'm greater than you are because the person that I work for just happens to have more money than the person that you work for? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? But you know what? We do that many times. You see, we're just simply stewards of the manifold grace of God. And it's even a little bit different than my illustration because we work for the same person. And you see, he's given me something that I'm to steward, and he's given you something that you are to steward. My gift, my part of his manifold grace, is different than your part, but we're all just stewards, and it's all his grace. So why would I think much of myself? Why would I think much of somebody else? I should think much of God, right? Now, let me give you some examples of people in Scripture who did not have the right perspective, and then we'll kind of bring it to a close. Just some people, I won't give specific verses that we'll look at, but you can write these down if you want. The Bible talks about in Ezekiel 29 and verse 3, the fact that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, looked out over his kingdom and basically thought of it as his own. And God said through the prophet Ezekiel that Pharaoh was foolish to do so. Reminds me also of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter number 4. And you remember that he was warned by Daniel not to get prideful. And yet there came a day when he looked out over his kingdom and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? And next thing you know, he's eating grass like an ox. And he was there for years until God gave him his mind back. But it got even worse with his descendants because after that was Belshazzar in Daniel chapter number 5. And he wasn't as fortunate as Nebuchadnezzar because God gave Nebuchadnezzar his mind back. Belshazzar, in the night that he threw that party, you remember, and he took the vessels that had come from the temple and he drank out of them and he was full of pride in his own heart. And God said, that's enough. You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting, and that was the last night that he served in that capacity. Why? Because God took it away. And then it reminds me also in Acts chapter number 12 of Herod. And as Herod stood on a balcony and talked to the people, and the people cried out, that's the voice of a god and not a man. And because Herod did not give God glory, God smote him and he died. God gave us examples throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, to show us that we had better give God glory because it all belongs to Him. Do not think of men greater than that which is written, which leads me to this point. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and that is this. Why is it important not to think of men above that which is written? And the answer is because Christ alone deserves our focus and our glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Skip down to verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And as we close the message tonight, let me close by saying amen to that verse. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you want to be excited about something, if you want to brag about something, if you want to talk much about something or have other people notice something, let it be the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him the forefront of your life, not you and not what you've accomplished, or not even whether or not you are of this person who has accomplished much, or that person who is well known. Rather, let it be, I belong to Jesus Christ, and I glory in him. That's what it means to be a Christian, and we should all be that way. And I hope and I trust that this message will help all of us to remember not to think of men above that which is written. Let's pray, and then we'll have a short time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us for our pride. Lord, many times we think of ourselves above that which is written. And when we're not doing that, Lord, we do think of others above that which is written. And it, Lord, we do so at the expense of your glory. When you are the one that should be lifted up and magnified, we're often magnifying ourselves or others. Lord, I know that that's true of me, and I'm sure it's true of the rest of the congregation as well. And Lord, I ask that you would change our hearts and our minds on that, and that you would convince us of the truth that you alone deserve glory, because all things are by you, through you, and to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember that, and Lord, that you would burn that truth into our minds and our hearts, that in these days we would be concerned with giving you glory. Now, Lord, I want you to be magnified and exalted. Lord, not only in my own life, but I want that through the church that you've given to me to be able to pastor. Lord, I want people to look at this church and think much of you. Lord, I don't know that I've done a good job of that. I don't know that we as a church have done a good job of it. But Lord, I know that you want it as well as we do, and even more so. So Lord, would you please make it happen? Change our hearts, bring us to repentance, bring us to a place of humility so that you can get the glory that you deserve to have through your local church. Now, I pray that you'd use this invitation. Holy Spirit of God, I yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen.